You're listening to Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. That's what's going on today. And you know what? It's draft time, and I couldn't be happier in the whole wide world. You know, when it gets to be draft time, I could spend all day long. I never, ever want to do a sports station. I don't want to do it again for 5 days in a week. But I could sit around for 2 days working a weekend. I could do this for 3 days in a row. I don't care. I love doing this. And we're going to do a bunch with it. Rick Saratella is going to come and join us. He's the NFL Draft Bible. We're going to talk about everybody. And he said everybody knows about the first round and the second round. But the people that they're into are more into the third and the fourth round. He said, because people want to know. You know, I got to tell you, when I used to do this nonsense, remember people would have the Reader's Draft and I would always have that. And we remember we had some big thing and people would all come and they'd go, Madam Chairman, blah, 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 whatever they would do to me. And we would do this and it was really good. There's no reason in the world to do that anymore. I got a million guys who do this and I'm pretty damn good at it. They're a trillion times better than I ever thought of being. There's no sitting doing it. It was kind of fun at first, but I can't imagine doing that. That's what we're going to do. Rick Saratella is here. He has to talk to us about the draft, the draft, the draft. Lord knows the babe loves the draft. Are you like crazy right now or what?
It's that time of the year, right? We're 15 days away, but who's really counting?
One of the things I thought about is, At times, you could see the NBA would make trades. And then only a few years ago, all of a sudden, we're making trades in the NFL, which was never really anything that we had before. Once in a while, you might get, but the NBA used to do it all the time. And now they're doing it a lot now, it seems, in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's something that was really never happened, right? And the trade deadline would come and go, and you wouldn't hear a peep now.
Yeah.
You know, between that, but more so, I guess, with the draft. And I think, you know, really what's happened is teams have kind of now learned to, I think, handle the salary cap better and deal with the cap and be able to pull off those kind of trades where, you know, in years past, it was hard to kind of make the salaries fit. And, you know, let's be honest, the NFL has become a young man's game. So when the Seahawks want to trade Richard Sherman, right, hey, they're getting rid of him a year too early while he still has some value rather than a year too late, because they can go draft a guy like the kid from UConn probably at the end of the first round and plug him in. And heck, you know, he's going to be about $10 million cheaper.
You know, one of the things you talk about Richard Sherman, I happen to live around where I'm putting up with the stupid Bucks because I live here and I keep it. And I thought to myself, but if you want him in a place where you've got some younger players, wouldn't Richard Sherman be good, even though they're getting rid of him a year before? But you know he's going to be good for a couple of years to help out somebody, especially somebody like that, that you could deal with, somebody that would be so good at somebody
definitely
that has defensive backs in it, something like that.
Well, how about Carolina? They didn't want to pay Josh Norman all that money, but for $11 million, I mean, Sherman is value. You know, I think Norman got like $16 million a year, but hey, they needed that help in the secondary last year, and they're a team. They went to the Super Bowl, and they didn't make the playoffs, but hey, that's a team that could reload, be back quickly, and they had a guy like, I know New England, they just spent big bucks on that Gilmore, which they don't really normally do. So, you know, I think if they didn't do that, I think they would maybe be exploring that trade. But, yeah, I think a veteran team would be crazy not to look into that.
You know, if I'm doing what you do for a living, I'm looking at this and I'm going, there's really not any big quarterbacks, but it's kind of like they're telling us we like this, we like that, but there's really not any good quarterbacks.
There's not any good quarterbacks, but there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Right, good one.
And then there's a handful of teams that are looking for the successor, because think about it, 2-3 years from now, you're not going to have Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Carson Palmer. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know if I said it. I mean, all these teams are, and that's why you see the Cardinals, they're working out every quarterback just in case one of these guys slide to them. And you got Bruce Arians, who's a quarterback whisperer. So, you know, a guy like Carson Palmer, hey, that's the thing, is there's no sexy franchise quarterback. Each quarterback has some traits or characteristics that you say, hey, maybe I can work with this guy. And if you could sit him behind a pro, and maybe we go back to the days of Steve McNair and even Aaron Rodgers, where you groomed a quarterback. People forget Eli Manning sat behind Kurt Warner for a half a season too. And, you know, I think there's a lot of value to that. And a guy like even Jared Goff, I mean, he couldn't even really see the field because of the adjustment. And I think the quarterbacks today, they look over to the sideline. The coach stands up, throws up a big flash card, right? And they're doing, you hear it all the time, RPO, run pass option. They're reading the safety. They're literally making one read, and they're dictating where they're going to go with the ball off of that one read. And when you get to the NFL, you have to go under center, learn how to do your footwork, read through progressions, adjust plays, you know, pre-snap coverage, and read more than just the safety. And I think, you know, that was the thing I caught Mariucci. I like, you know, he does something like similar to what Gruden does with the quarterbacks, right? And he does the Game Changer show, and he had the North Carolina quarterback Trubisky. And he was busting his chops a little bit, but he said, when have you ever been under center? Like, seriously, when's the last time you took a snap under center? And it was middle school, you know? And that's really mind-blowing when you think about it, and how, you know, now you see the NFL is going to have to start adjusting and adapting to the widespread, simplistic, dumbed down offenses from college football. These guys just they get in the NFL, they're not ready. And you know,
one of the things that I was
a big problem.
Well, when you're talking about that, and we don't see that much. I mean, are we looking? Because I certainly haven't looked at 2018. But are there better quarterbacks coming out in 2018, or are they not any real different than what we have right now?
Well, you know, it's all to be determined, right? Because this time last year, everybody said, hey, Deshaun Watson's crazy for going back to school. He could have possibly been the number one overall pick. And that was with Wentz and Goff. Now this year, he's like Rodney Dangerfield. He can't get any respect. all he did was go out and have another big season. But it was like he couldn't really improve his stock. So what happened is, another year, and you get to this time of year, especially where we're just waiting. Sometimes when you have too much time, they start poking holes in your game and finding everything that's wrong with you. And I think what the kid Trubisky did was strike while the iron's hot. He said, hey, this isn't really a strong class. I only started a handful of games, but hey, strike while the iron's hot. And next year, you know, everybody loves the kid from USC now, Darnold, who's not going to be eligible for at least another 2 years. And, you know, 2 years ago, everybody loved Josh Rosen from UCLA, who could still be a first-round pick. But since then, he's got the shoulder surgery. And, you know, that's the thing. You can never factor in, you know, what's going to happen to these guys. And take a look at Davis Webb. Transferred from Texas Tech because Patrick Mahomes beat him out. And now those two guys are competing for the number one, you know, first round pick status. But, you know, I like the quarterback class next year. I think there's some guys, you know, the kid from Wyoming is a guy, Josh Allen, but I do think that we might need to start going back and grooming. You know, there used to be a thing called grooming quarterbacks,
right?
And I think that's where we need to get back to, because, you know, a lot of times you get selected in the first round and there's these great expectations, and because there's maybe a handful of guys, 5-6 quarterbacks that are franchise quarterbacks, and then you have another 5 or 6 guys that are above average. And, you know, let's be honest, once you start getting past the first 16 quarterbacks, the second 16, I mean, they're pretty mediocre. There's a lot of teams out there. There's a lot of teams out there looking for a quarterback.
Well, and it, one of the things, too, and the quarterbacks are the same. Remember a couple of years ago, we were taking running backs, 4 years, they're done, blah, blah. That happened like 2 years, and now we're back to picking running backs again. But you've got Dalvin Cook, and you've got Christian McCaffrey, and I'm like, I don't buy any of them. Dalvin Cook is good. It's just that he's got the labrum on both sides over here. And Christian McCaffrey, I don't think he's ever carried it 35 times. I'm not finding interest in either one of those guys.
Well, you know, McCaffrey, I got to say, I was a guy that wasn't too high on McCaffrey. He's kind of won me over a little bit. I call him Danny Woodhead on steroids.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, this guy's hands at the combine, God, I mean, they say he has one of the best hands in the entire draft, including the wide receivers. And I think because the wide open way of the NFL, the passing attack, I think the value that he brings, you know, like the Saints, the way they used to use Darren Sproles, that could be Christian McCaffrey. You know, some people have him going now in the top 10 as high as number 8 to the Panthers. And, you know, some people like him number 20 to the Broncos. But I think NFL.com or somebody put up, or Peter King from Sports Illustrated put up a thing where he took all these expert mock drafts and he put about six. Every single person had McCaffrey.
Go ahead.
No, I think part of that too, though, is because there's really maybe 14 to 18 guys with a true first round grade in this year's draft. So, yeah. I think it's a deep class talent-wise, but I think first-round value, if I have a first-round pick, I'm looking to trade back, trade out of that first-round, stockpile some picks because I can get some really equal, you know, talent between picks 20 and picks 50. I think those guys are really evenly graded. So if I can move back, trade down, and pick up an extra pick, that's what I would be doing.
When you're doing this, do you? I mean, we have Myles Garrett. Whether or not they're going to go with Trubisky, we're talking about that. But do you see these guys and you go, "This is the number one draft choice"? Do you see? I mean, are there great people from the defensive side, not so much from the offensive side?
Well, it's the smokescreen season, too, so now there's rumblings Fournette could be in consideration for number one, but I think it's Garrett, and I think that, yeah, I think the sexy guys are probably Myles Garrett, Jamal Adams from LSU. That's the other thing, too. Safeties are making a comeback this year, and you have Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker, two game-changing safeties that are going to probably go very, very high. Jabril Peppers is another safety, and then this Obi Melifonwu, I mean, that's the guy that I think people are not seeing that it could come out of the blue as a first round.
This is a kid out of Connecticut, right?
Yeah, 6 foot four, ran the 4.4 40, 42-inch vertical. I was at his pro day, and I can tell you that this guy's hips are so fluid. His back pedal, one of the best I've ever seen. And I think you're getting a glimpse into the future of what, you know, defensive backs, I think 5-10 years from now in the NFL are all going to be, you're not going to have much to distinguish between corners and safeties. I think you're going to have guys like Obi in the future where you got to cover, you got to tackle. And guys, I say it every year, guys are coming out of college bigger, stronger, faster. Every year they get bigger. They get fast. Myles Garrett at 275 pounds ran a 4.6 40. I mean, that's incredible. You know, that's just and Fournette too. I mean, there's a running back at Texas, Donta Foreman, that I like. He's 245 pounds. This guy's running 4.4 40s. And but to answer your question, I think there's star-studded. Like O.J. Howard, to me, is in my top five.
Yeah.
And he's an offensive guy. Leonard Fournette, I think, has the most upside as a running back. Me personally, I would never draft a running back in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, people are, you know, getting excited about the running backs in the first round. I do think we'll get three in the first round, but nobody, you know, everybody talks about Ezekiel Elliott. Nobody talks about Jordan Howard, who was second in the league in rushing, and the Bears were able to take him with the 150th overall pick. So, you know, I think there's plenty of NFL teams that are going to still subscribe to that philosophy, the wait and see approach. And because of that, you're going to see like some really good running backs fall to even day three. That's the thing, is if you can identify a back that fits your scheme day three, even undrafted, you can find a starting running back.
You know, it seems to me when I look at the guys that are there, especially I see a lot of people on the edge side of the defensive line. I see people in the back, but I haven't seen a whole lot of linebackers that they're that crazy about so far. And it was interesting you said about O.J. Howard. I think if you don't get him, you're going to be sorry for the rest of your life if you don't get him.
Well, I see O.J. Howard 2-3 years from now. I think he's the best tight end in the league.
Wow.
I really do. And, you know, some of the other guys, that linebacker, yeah, I think the linebacker and rush edge guys are more guys that played defensive end in college but will be linebackers, like Taco Charlton from Michigan,
yeah.
Harris McKinley from UCLA. They played defensive end. They'll probably be linebackers. I like Hassan Reddick from Temple because I've had a chance to scout him for a few years now. And I went there scouting Tyler Matakavage a few years back, and I was up in the press box, and this guy Reddick kept dominating guys on the edge. Now, he played with his hand in the dirt in college. He's only like 6'1", 6'2", 240 pounds. He actually got a lot of praise at the Senior Bowl for the way he played inside linebacker. But I think if you can use this guy in a situational role, getting after the quarterback, he's my guy. And I know some people like Reuben Foster from Alabama.
Right.
You know, the Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt is a guy that, you know, people thought very highly of until he ran a 4.74. You know, all of a sudden you run a 4.74 as a linebacker, like I said, bigger, stronger, faster. You run a 4.74 as a linebacker, now it's a death sentence. and you know, man, tight tail, we saw it with him, and Cunningham was a guy where, you know, I know one former NFL scout that I hold in very high regards has Zach Cunningham as his best player in the entire draft. And he went out and ran a bad 40-yard dash, and he might not even go in the first round now because of that. So Jared Davis is a linebacker from Florida, might sneak into the first round and surprise some people.
You know, some of the things that I'm out there are a lot of people that got some good money coming on into free agency and stuff, but there are a lot of people still waiting to get another job from being in free agency right now.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a guy here in Jersey where I'm at, Jonathan Hankins. All he's done is started for the past four years for the Giants, big 350-pound defensive tackle. And we saw it with Russell Okung last year, kind of waiting out and trying to wait for the money. But sometimes these guys outprice themselves, and then they realize there's not really a market that they thought. And then, you know, a guy like LeGarrette Blount, I mean, that's crazy. You know, you see a guy like that, I think he led the league in rushing, 18 touchdowns. You saw him in the Super Bowl. And, hey, you know, everybody's just assuming we're going to see all these running backs going high, but then you see a guy like LeGarrette Blount who's out there for the take, and nobody even wants to touch this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, you know. Latavius Murray, I think, from the Raiders, they let him walk away, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really productive season. So, you know, the running backs, they're always going to be interchangeable. I do think there is a short lifespan with that. And it's interesting. You got the Spring League down in West Virginia, I know, kicked off last week. And there's guys like Ben Tate trying to make a comeback. But I tell you, when you get to 30 years old, it's hard to stay relevant. Rashad Jennings from the Giants. I mean, hey, take that Dancing with the Stars check while you can, because that NFL check might be over.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, let's talk about the Raiders going to Vegas. It's not for a couple of years, and they said that, you know, they'll get the guy from Seattle and won't it be great? And I said, that's trying to put people in the seats. That's all it is. But, I mean, if I'm there, I'm not going there, especially as crazy as I am for the Raiders. I'm not going to help them out in any way. But what do we do about the Raiders going to Vegas? And everybody wondered whether or not we should have one, and now there is a team there.
Yeah, and ironically, this year now, Vegas just got NFL approval to take bets on the NFL draft and do all these prop bets and over under 4.5 Alabama players in the first round and things like that going on now in Vegas, which the NFL never allowed. So there was an arm wrestling tournament last week in Vegas, which I think Marshawn Lynch is one of the participants. And they're saying now the NFL players who participated in this event in Las Vegas, you remember the whole Tony Romo incident with his fantasy football event being canceled in Las Vegas. Well, apparently these NFL guys had some kind of arm wrestling contest in Las Vegas last week. And now the NFL is going to fine every NFL player who was in attendance. So it's kind of like, you know, still somewhat of an identity crisis, because you're saying, hey, well, you know, having an NFL franchise, well, that's cool now. You know, we're open to that idea. But hey, God forbid you attend an event in Las Vegas and you're an NFL player. Well, now you're going to have guys embedded in the community, and you're going to have, you know, a lot of sharks, so to speak, just walking the streets interacting with these players. Don't think that doesn't happen. So I think that's always been the big hesitancy. And I'll tell you what, babes, I was down at the College Gridiron Showcase. It's an all-star event. We did my first year working with them. I was the director of player personnel, and we had 175 players there. 111 NFL scouts came and checked these kids out. And I'll tell you what, I'm walking by and these kids are writing out their gambling picks on their paper, you know, while they're sitting in the lobby waiting to do NFL team interviews, they're circling their picks in the spread.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, hey, you get a 20-year-old kid on a practice squad or, you know, one of those bottom of the roster kind of guys, you know, don't think that they're not going to interact with some of these sharks in Las Vegas. So I think to me, the NFL is still sending mixed signals in terms of their acceptance. Either you're in or you're not. Let's go, and, you know, you're moving a franchise in there. Let's not find guys for being an event. You got guys going to be living there now. And in terms of the Raiders fans, go, I mean, hey, they're diehard fans. I know the Black Hole is probably going to be there, you know, till they're gone. And, you know, you're hearing now San Antonio could possibly emerge as a temporary home for the Raiders. You know, I think they'll give it a whirl 1 year here and try to squeeze 1 year out of Oakland. And if it doesn't go well and they're really struggling, I think you can see one of two things happen. Either San Antonio becomes a temporary home for the Raiders, or you could see them become one of the first teams to adapt a full home slate in London, which I know the NFL is pushing for that agenda. And, you know, you could see the Raiders play like four home games in London and be one of the first NFL franchises to embrace that, because eventually what you're going to see is the NFL expand the London games to an 8-game slate. They're already at a 4-game slate, and they're bundling that as a, from my understanding, if you want tickets to the, you know, it's a hot ticket there in London. If you want tickets now to one of those games, my understanding is you got to buy the season ticket package now, all four. And from what I've heard, that's going to be a sellout type of thing. So if they sell out that 4-game package, believe me, NFL, the next step for them is an 8-game package in London. And then they want to start playing a couple games. They want to go back to Mexico City for a couple games and look to expand into other markets internationally. And that's why the owners love this Roger Goodell. You saw Twitter pay $10 million for that 10-game package, the streaming right package, 10 games for $10 million last year. Mm-hmm. And then this year, Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, they all, Snapchat were up for the bidding. And Amazon paid five times. They paid $50 million for the same exact package in just 1 year's time. So Goodell just put an extra $2.5 million in every owner's pocket. And that's why they allow this guy to rake in $30, $40 million a year.
I'm looking at 50 times. I'm looking at $50 million that goes on. Well, you can't blame him if you're getting a bunch of money from him in that. It's interesting what you said about London, that if it really is a disaster in Oakland, that they could play in San Antonio, but they might play four games over in London. And they kind of want to have a team in London. But I wonder how many times you have to go over and come back and all that kind of stuff. I just, you know, I don't know how, I guess it's going to be fine, but I look at it and I go, how does that work? But, you know, I'm thinking of today and I'm sure it works in 3 days. I mean, 3 years, fine, but I haven't figured it out. That's all.
Well, you know, I think too, if you do four games, right, you're probably sending them out there on a back-to-back home game trip. Mm-hmm. So they fly out there once, they stay there for 2 weeks, play two games, maybe come back and then at the end of the season, do that trip again. And, you know, I also know that if you do participate in playing in the London games, the NFL will give you the buy. They'll kind of give you the buy. They'll bypass you on the Hard Knocks deal. So, like, you know, that's one thing. NFL teams really don't want to be on Hard Knocks. So it's kind of like a deal under the table where, hey, if you give up one of your home games, we won't bother you for the Hard Knocks deal.
Well, now that you're talking about that, I guess the Bucks are going to get ready to do Hard Knocks this time. Is that what I'm hearing anyway?
I saw a report. You know, I don't know if that's officially confirmed, but they were the team I thought I heard too that they could be there. And there was actually comments from, I think, you know, the GM and coach commented on, and so there must be, you know, where there's smoke, sometimes there is fire. So I think that's the only team I've heard of being discussed right now. And, you know, hey, it's an interesting young team with a lot of potential there. So, you know, I think where Hard Knocks struggles is, you know, even as a diehard football fan that loves the show, I kind of find it falling a little bit flat, and it's kind of stale. It's kind of like the same thing year after year. And I feel like after the whole Rex Ryan Jets thing, where, you know, Rex took a lot of heat for his language, I know, in the media and the back pages here in New York, I feel like ever since then, the NFL has kind of like censored it and made it, you know, more fluff.
Yeah.
And it has really kind of dictated and been selective in terms of what the messages they put out there. And I think because of that, the series is becoming a little bit stale. So, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to juicen that up a little bit. And maybe it's streaming it in virtual reality or panoramic 360. I know they're installing now 360 degree panoramic video cameras in all the stadiums for the upcoming season. That was a new technology thing that's going on in the NFL, and they're quietly delving into new technology and things that they're not promoting. They're doing it behind the scenes. These next gen stats that they like to call them, these next generation stats, where they're tracking, you know, players, you know, how fast, miles per hour, top speed, ball velocity, you know, who throws the fastest and the hardest, and things like that. So I think that's where, again, you know, the one thing the commissioner has done, whether you're a fan or not, you know, Paul Tagliabue kind of just had the well-oiled machine running, and what wasn't broke, don't fix it. Whereas Goodell has kind of come in and, you know, he's taken the draft from a 2-day event to a 3-day event to now a primetime event. At the Combine this year, they had a huge, huge fan festival. They opened up the bench press to the fans. They sold beer and had concession stands and hecklers going on during the bench press. And I think you're a couple years away from the NFL opening up the Combine experience to selling tickets to the fans and making money off of that. And the draft has exploded now in prime time. Hey, I'm a traditionalist, babe. I loved it back in the day when it was Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And you know, you had all day, the weekend, it was a cool thing. And then, you know, now it's kind of, you know, we do the first round and we wait.
Right.
We do the second and the third round and we wait. And, you know, it's an interesting time in the NFL and where they're at trying to grow and expand. But I think, again, Goodell has found ways to create new revenues and create additional interest. You know, the NFL scouting combine has become a televised event. And, you know, you even see like the Senior Bowl and East-West Shrine Game practices now being televised. So, I mean, fans really, really love their football. And that's probably, to me, in the mainstream media on ESPN, NFL Network, the one thing, and, you know, what we do at the NFL Draft Bible is try to cover some of the smaller school, under the radar, day three, priority free agent guys, because I think the mainstream media, they just talk about the top guys and they really do their fans a disservice because they underestimate how passionate and knowledgeable the NFL fan base is. And I know down in Florida too, it's just like here in New York area. I mean, the fans are very knowledgeable from 1 to 53. I mean, they know these players inside and out. And when there's a new player drafted, whether it's first round, second round, seventh round, I mean, fans are craving information on these guys. And I think that's where there's really an untapped market out there for this NFL draft industry. And we try to tap into it a little bit, and we're, you know, small media, independent media here at NFL Draft Bible. But I can tell you that there is really a thirst and a craving for some of these day two and day three players. And hey, babe, even with the media, if you're not NFL Network or ESPN, they treat you like, never mind second class citizens, they treat you like a third world country, you know, with the media. You know, they don't give you no access anymore. Day three in Chicago now, I found myself in my hotel room in day three because they don't have a media workspace for us media, for us non-mainstream media people. There's no place for us to even set up and work on day three of the draft. So I've actually found myself in my hotel room watching the draft on the TV, and it's something I haven't done in 15 years, and it blew my mind how terrible the coverage was, where we're on day three of the draft and all these players are being selected and these guys are still talking about day one, day two selections, and they really don't have the ability to talk about these guys as it happens. And that's one of the things this year on day three of the draft that we're going to try to do here on the NFL Draft Bible's point of view. We'll be down in Philadelphia, probably without a media workroom space to work with. So we're going to do some kind of day three coverage where you can get actual analysis on the players being selected as it happens, rather than, you know, having to be subjected to this nonsense on ESPN and NFL Network where they're talking about day one, day two guys. And we got day three guys being selected, and, you know, hey, there's four rounds on that day three. And quite honestly, that's where these GMs make their money. Everybody, you know, hey, you're supposed to hit, you're supposed to find starters in the first and second, even the third round. Those guys are supposed to start for your team. But anybody, any successful franchise, if you look at the Packers, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Ravens, any successful franchise finds players in the mid to late rounds. The undrafted free agency, I mean, that makes up a third of almost every NFL franchise. People don't realize that. That's where you need to really earn your paycheck, because if you can identify players who fit your scheme and maybe you develop them a year or two on the practice squad, you never see the Packers go out and sign another team's free agent. They don't want your guys.
No.
They find guys and develop them. Same with the Steelers, the Patriots, the successful organizations do that because, hey, when you rely on free agency to build a team, free agency, you're going to have to overpay no matter what your need is. And every top player is going to demand top dollars. So that's why those mid to late rounds and the undrafted free agency, to me, that's the most valuable aspect of this whole offseason.
You know, one of the things while we're talking about this, too, and I'll ask you about the draft Bible in a second, but one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, who do you think is really good in here and who do you think is horrible in the draft? Is there something that you can say, I think this guy is really good and he won't go until the third or fourth round, but I think he's really good? And is there somebody that you think is going to be absolutely awful in this or comes out of the draft and you go, let's see where he is in 3 years?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought we were going to talk about organizations because to me, the Browns are terrible at this
yes.
game. It seems like.
What, you know what, Rick? You know, why is it that you yeah. and I know that we could do better as running that team right now? And I know that I could, and you know that you could, and yet they have people who, for some reason, it doesn't get done. And you know you do well, and I know I'm better than what they have. And yeah. I do this, you know?
Yeah, and every year it seems, and I do a spots in Cleveland every year, and it's like this is their Super Bowl every year because they're always picking at the top of the draft. And again, I thought they blew it last year. They could have had a franchise quarterback. They traded out of that number mm-hmm. two pick. They could have had Carson Wentz. And yeah, it's great to have a gazillion draft picks, but when you don't have a franchise quarterback, guess what? You still have.
Right.
No team. And every team in the playoffs had a franchise quarterback last year. It happens every year. But a guy to me, like Curtis Samuel from Ohio State, this guy, we talked about Deshaun Watson being like the Rodney Dangerfield. This guy, unfortunately, he had the distinction of running after John Ross in Indianapolis, and John Ross ran the 4.22. But Curtis Samuel ran a 4.31 at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
And he... If you told me he's going to turn out to be a better player than Christian McCaffrey, I would probably say that the odds of that happening are pretty good. And I think he's going to probably be like a round two, round three type of player. And again, I think he could be a top five, top 10 player overall in this year's draft. You know, the one guy sliding
mm-hmm.
is Deshaun Kizer. I don't know if he's going to go in the late first or
it's
early
almost
second,
like he's a Notre Dame quarterback. It's like, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. He's a Notre Dame quarterback. When was the last time we were that excited about a Notre Dame cornerback? But we have so few now, we go, oh, we'll take the guy from Notre Dame.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, it looks like he's going to go more by the Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen wayside where... You know, I don't know if he's attending the draft in Philadelphia or not, if he got the invite, if he's going, but Deshaun Kizer, it could get lonely for him in the green room backstage if he does attend. But Carl Lawson from Auburn, here's a guy, edge guy that can get after the quarterback, comes in undersized, 6'1", 260-pound defensive lineman, but this guy can bring it. I think he's going to be a guy that people are sleeping on. And then I think there's a lot of receivers here. A lot of people talk about Mike Williams and Corey Davis and
yeah.
John Ross in the first round. But, you know, Chris Godwin out of Penn State, this guy's proven to me he's always played on the outside. He's never played in the slot. I think he can be a legitimate wide receiver number two. And he's a guy that ran a 4.4, you know, 40 at the combine. So, and Josh Malone from Tennessee, I think he's going to be a guy that is a second round pick that will outperform some receivers that go in the first round. A lot of people like Robert Meacham coming out of Tennessee as a first round pick for the Saints. I think Josh Malone is a higher rated prospect than
mm-hmm.
Meacham, but he's not getting the draft hype. And how about a small school guy, Adam Shaheen from Ashland? And when this guy declared, everybody was scratching their heads, a junior tight end from Ashland. What is he doing declaring for the draft? And, you know, here he is, athletic freak, can block, can catch. He's 6'7", 280 pounds, babe. And he
oh,
ran
I love him already.
He ran in the 4.7 range and just incredible. 33-inch vertical jump, 10-foot broad jump. He's just an athletic freak, and he's a small school kid, so you just have no idea what you're getting. But I think someone's going to pull the trigger on that kid in round two, and it's going to be really exciting to see where he winds up. And, you know, I could talk about those guys for days. You know, there's so many players I'm excited about in the draft. We mentioned the running back, Samaje Perine from Oklahoma. We didn't mention him yet. There's a guy you could probably get round three, maybe even day three. And I think he's a guy that's going to outperform some of the running backs that go ahead of him. So that's why I said maybe not as sexy in the first round this year's draft, but I think you can get some quality starters round three, maybe even to round four. You know, guys, too, some injuries here. It was really unfortunate that two cornerbacks that had a potential to go in the first round, Fabian Moreau from UCLA and Sidney Jones from Washington. Yeah, these guys were, you know, headed towards the first round. And now those two guys, along with a Jake Butt from Michigan, who, if not for the injury, would probably be a first round prospect. I mean, those are guys now that you can probably get round three or day three where, yeah, you might have to redshirt them for a year, but you're getting a future potential starter if you're willing to have the patience. And, you know, the teams that stockpile the picks, that's where it might help the Browns out. But teams like the Patriots and that like to trade back, they can they have those extra lottery tickets. They can kind of roll the dice on some of those injured guys who, hey, they might have been a first round pick, but since they're injured, Eddie Jackson from Alabama, the safety, is another guy that comes to mind where he had a season ending injury. He's probably going to go on day three of the draft, but in 2 years from now, he'll probably be starting on Sundays.
You know, one of the things, let's talk about the NFL Draft Bible. Tell people how to get it and all that stuff.
So, yeah, right now, NFL Draft Bible, you know, we went free this year, babe, so all our content is free. We're working right now on release. I'm going to send you to a sneak peek of our big board. We're working on our rankings 1 through 1,000. We want to make sure we have you covered for the NFL draft. It's going to be your go-to source. We've got all the measurables, not just the NFL scout and combine numbers. We've got all the pro day numbers in there. So it's going to be your one-stop go-to shop for your NFL draft resource. And then we've already turned the page to 2018. We've got the 2018 prospectus. We haven't done the publication in recent years. I think, you know, people stopped buying books, so a lot of our content has gone online.
Yeah.
But one thing that we're going to do that's new this year is the NFL Draft Bible Prospectus, where before the season starts, you'll be able to access all our rankings for the 2018 NFL Draft and beyond. So we're not just ranking the draft eligible prospects, but we're ranking guys regardless of draft class. So we mentioned the quarterbacks like the Sam Darnold, who's going to be a sophomore, Josh Rosen, you know, and how they stack up, and not just draft eligible guys. So we'll have scouting reports on the future draft class before the season kicks off. And we pretty much put everything we do up on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. So between the Twitter and the website, those are probably the best ways to keep up with everything that we do.
You know, one of the things I was going to ask you, first of all, I wanted to ask you about Teddy Bridgewater. I want to ask you about Tony Romo. But on Teddy Bridgewater, it was the worst thing in the world. It's the worst. No, he'll be back. I never have, you know, he's going through what's going on. But does he have the worst injury in the world, or is he coming back? Do we know that yet?
Well, I think Minnesota would like him to return to Minnesota just because they want to have that guy on the back burner. But, you know, from what I'm hearing is his career could be over.
That's what I heard, too.
You know, this guy might never take another snap again. And it's a shame because, you know, when you look at his style of play, very similar to a Deshaun Watson. And to me, that's one of the big dilemmas when you draft Deshaun Watson is you have to figure out, am I going to let him be the improviser that he's so great at naturally that when a play does break down, whether he wants to beat you with his arm or take off with his legs and run or move around and make plays happen on the fly? Or, you know, this was the dilemma that Jim Mora Jr. had back in Atlanta with Michael Vick. You remember they tried to force him into being a pocket passer.
Right.
And, you know, whether that worked or not, who knows what the best outcome was, because we all know Michael Vick at his best was when he was allowed to be Michael Vick and improvise. And when he made the comeback and was running around crazy for the Eagles, I mean, making plays happen when things broke down, that's when he was at his best. But then also we saw when he was allowed to do that, that's when he got injured. And we saw it with Marcus Mariota, I think the last year or two. This guy, Tennessee, has done a great job of letting him be Marcus Mariota and letting you letting him beat you with his feet. But to me, hey, if I'm Tennessee, I'm making sure I got a great backup quarterback, because this guy, though, his style of play, it just doesn't work in the NFL. If you're playing 16-plus games, if you're lucky to make the playoffs and you make a Super Bowl run, you just can't be a running quarterback in the NFL and survive 20 games. It's just not going to happen, babe.
It's not. I'm right there with you. What's your read on Tony Romo? The fact that, forget about the Phil Simms thing, whatever, but he's right there. Is he going to be great at this? Obviously, they think he's going to be great at this.
Well, he wasn't so great at his press conference with the Dallas Mavericks, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I went to the Dallas Cowboys YouTube page, and they had this press conference from Tony Romo with this Dallas Mavericks game. And babe, you'll appreciate this, right? Because how many times have we been to a press conference or a media affair where the PR person is just, you know, only questions about his Mavs experience, please.
Yes.
You know, and it's funny. It's such an awkward press conference, because here they trot him out in front of the media. You hear the jerky PR campaign manager in the background, only about his Mavs experience. So they're not allowed to ask any questions. Here, this big news, he's knocking Aikman off as the number one analyst, and we're not allowed to ask about it. So it's funny, they start the press conference, and there's like that awkward 10 seconds of silence where like nobody wants to ask a question because there's nothing to ask, right? So they throw him the softball. Hey, Tony, tell us about this experience. You know, and they actually wasted 8 minutes of my time, of my life, that I'll never get back. I listened to this whole thing like a dummy. And
yeah.
And they talked about his Dallas Mavericks. Hey, I guess for Mark Cuban and the PR purposes, it worked. But, hey, don't waste our time in the media. If you're going to have a press conference and you're going to dictate what we can and can't ask. Hey, if you can't take the heat, babe, this is an old one. Get out of the kitchen. But, hey, to answer your question, it's not as easy as it looks on TV. I agree with some of the comments out there in that respect. But at the end of the day, did you ever tune into a sports telecast because of the announcer and say, hey, man, I really got to listen to the way, and I love John Madden, but I never said, hey, I got to go listen to Monday Night Football because I want to hear what John Madden is going to say.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think people care too much. I think what it is just a new face, and people have gotten used to Phil Simms, and let's be honest, people's attention spans, especially the younger generation, is short. So there's a lot of change. There's a lot of moving and shaking. It's not where it used to be, where, you know, Summerall and Madden would have the job for 20 years. I think those days are gone, just like corporate America, where, you know, you work your way up through the corporate ladder and you work with one company for 20, 30 years is over. I think that people's attention span are short all over the place, and change is just really, we talked about it with what Goodell is doing with the NFL. He can't keep still. He's always got to tinker or tweak something. And I think that's what happens a lot of times, as you know, babe, with the corporate suits that push buttons behind a laptop all day from their cushiony office, you know. You get something good, and then, you know, people with the suits get notice of it, and they put their hands in the mix, and you know how that goes.
All right, I'm giving it up to Rick Saratella. Whenever you want to, NFL Draft Bible. Everything that you could ever want. I saw something the other day, and he was telling me the people that were available from Rutgers and Penn State and UConn. I'm like, knock yourself right out. I have no idea who in the world those people will be, but they got them all. They got them all, so you get to figure that out. I do love him, and he's very good, and it's draft time, so I'll be crazy for the next. Is he going to go on this year? It's this April. I didn't know that. It is April. What does April mean?
No, 2 weeks away.
That's my retarded producer. Oh, excuse me. I can't say that anymore, right? People say, yeah, but then they get mad at me if I say retarded. Okay, we're screwed. Listen, let me just tell you. I got to tell you, yesterday, not one, not two, but 3 hours of Forged in Fire on TV yesterday. I was like in teen heaven. I don't know what's wrong with me, but God, I love this thing. I'm sure maybe in a month I'll say, oh, I hate that, but I just love it. And I love it when he slices. They, you know what they did? They have, well, they had a pig, like a real pig, like it was it's a up and down pig, and then they slice it to see how good their blades are. They had a big pig. I'm talking with like the snout and everything. I was looking away. I said, I can't even watch this. Like slicing right through it. Oh, I do love this Forged in Fire. It's on History Channel. It makes me crazy. What else? You know what's interesting too? One of the things that we just talked to Rick Zeratel about was this guy. His name is Adam Shaheen, and I wrote him down. He goes to Ashland, wherever the hell that is. 6'7", 280, and he's a tight end. I love him. I need a tight end around here. I'm the Babe. I'm so excited. It's draft time. Oh, we have to do other stuff. All right, it's... I am the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Jerry Jones is trying to get the NFL to ease up on the marijuana laws. It's about time now, people, just in general. Let me tell you how the marijuana laws work in the league. A lot of people don't really understand how it works. A lot of people, the funny part is, I didn't understand how it worked while I played. I understand now. This is what I played. It's a little different now, I believe. You know you're going to get drug tested in July during training camp. So July training camp usually started the last week of July. So July 25th, something like that. So you know that the first day or second day of training camp, so July 26th, you're going to get drug tested by the NFL. You knew this. You don't get drug tested the whole offseason. You know July 26th, you're going to get drug tested. Therefore, June 26th, you stop smoking. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying this. I didn't smoke it at that time. I didn't say I'm not smoking it now, but I didn't smoke it at that time. I was scared of, just the stress of the whole thing. So I would watch everybody around me with a month left stop smoking and taking what you got to clear your system out. The day they do the drug tests on July 26th during training camp, that night, everybody is high as giraffe pussy because they haven't been high for a month. Fact. And the rest of the season, they can smoke every day, all day. So what is that doing? If you're just stopping people from smoking for 1 month, it's not doing anything whatsoever.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.